If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Yeah, two homers, and they were both to Vogelbach of the Mariners, who is a large adult son, and and he, you know, he's so much fun to watch. Not because he's good, but he's just a big boy, and I like watching big boys.
With Joshua Briscoe,
I like watching big boys hit
on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We'll talk to one of the biggest fans of watching big boys, David Leskey, right now here on Almost Entirely Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at DBLeskey. You can read all of his analysis of all the big boys that do hit on Inside the Crown. You go to insidethecrown.substack.com. It's free and it's excellent. You can go get smarter about baseball there. You can also still catch some work from him on Royals Review as well. And again, follow him on Twitter at DBLeskey. Leskey, there is a lot of stuff that I want to get to with you here today, which is continually amazing to me simply because we're at, like, very early within spring training. But there was, you caused some controversy yesterday. I'll start with you there. You became a bit of an enemy of this show for a short period of time last night.
Mm-hmm.
I became the story, and
you did.
When you're on Twitter, you don't want to be the story, and
no.
I was the story for, 8 to 10 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
I think it lasted a while. It felt like a full minute, though, honestly. So I felt the repercussions of it.
So we simply have to start here, and first I have to give a little bit of context. Somewhere earlier this year, probably January, February, Rudy and I were having a series of discussions. I believe our inspiration here was Darren Revelle. And Darren Revelle had that Instagram post where he was looking for some woman who he knew when he was like six or three. She was also like three,
she
and they were
three.
Like at a pool, and he was always a ladies' man.
He wasn't afraid of girls. He didn't believe in cooties back then. He was a ladies' man.
Was weird because they were both like three, and so he was like looking for her again. Now anyway, it was all incredibly dorky behavior, and so we decided that Darren Revelle was going to be a part of our introductory class into what has now become known as the Dork Club. We shortly thereafter also inducted Kurt Schilling and Mike from Duke, as we are calling Coach K. He's no longer Coach K within the Dork Club.
Mike from Duke.
He's simply Mike from Duke. Here's the thing, Leskey. None of those three were able to come on the radio and defend themselves on this show, which is a way you can stay out of the Dork Club.
I mean, they could have. They just chose not to, I'd like to say.
Yeah, we didn't reach out to Kurt. The other two did not return our calls. There was a little talk last night about if David Leskey needs to be put on trial as a potential member of the Dork Club for hating on the return of Gerard Dyson. Beards, hit the music. David Leskey, I would like to first get you on the record. Will you please confirm that you are, in fact, David B. Leskey?
That is correct, yes.
What's your middle name?
I'm not telling you that. Fine, it's Benjamin.
David Benjamin Leskey. Do you or do you not support the Royals' addition of 97-year-old Gerard Dyson here in the year 2021 Anno Domini?
I love Gerard Dyson. Gerard Dyson was on those 2013-16 Royals, one of the three or four favorite players of mine on that team. He wasn't the best, but he's one of my absolute favorite players, and he still is. I still love watching him play. All I said, and I will stand by this, is I'm not sure it's the best idea. I didn't say I didn't enjoy it. I just don't think it's the best idea. That's all.
David Benjamin Leskey, do you think it is fair to say that you're being a bit of a wet blanket on the addition?
I'm being a bit of a dork, okay? I get it. I'm willing to accept that. I'm going to go to the stadium, and I'm going to see Gerard Dyson, and I'm going to cry a little bit because I'm going to be really happy to see him in a Royals uniform.
Hmm.
He had a bad season last year.
Yeah.
And he had a bad season the year before. The year before that.
But other than that, Mrs. Lincoln.
But if you go back to 2017, he was perfectly fine. I think that I would have much preferred it to be a minor league deal, just to give him an opportunity to play his way on the team. But look, it's Jerod Dyson. Jerod Dyson's fun. I love Jerod Dyson. I love watching him play. I love everything he brings to the team. I don't know that he's demonstrably better than Nick Heath at this point, but that's okay because he's fun. And really, you might put me in the Rook Club for this. I love looking at uniform numbers, and I'm really curious to see what he gives Nicky Lopez for number one.
Wow.
That is the big story to me right now. How does he get number one from Nicky Lopez?
What I will say, that is a nerdy thing to care about, not a dorky thing.
Nope.
Very different.
I guess I don't know if we've explained to him that nerd and dork are very different.
Very different things.
They are very different.
The Nerd Club is a great hang. The Dork Club is just you and Darren Revelle and Coach K.
And
Mike
Kurt
from
Schilling.
Duke. And Kurt Schilling.
Who's Coach K? I don't know.
Yeah, Mike from Duke. Sorry, my bad.
That's fair. Numbers are a very nerdy thing, and I love them.
I love it too. I think that may actually end up being good for your case. Here, we have to pass some judgment. Here's how the Dork Club works. Whenever all three of us are here, it's a three-man, judging dais, and we each get a vote, and it's a democracy. It's the Supreme Court right now of the Dork Club. Is me, Rudy, and Beards. We each get one vote. I like to think that I should get three votes, but that was also voted down, strangely enough. Here's what I'm going to say. Lesky said that he might cry a little whenever he sees Dyson out there. Mm-hmm. He is emotionally invested in him getting number one.
Yeah.
He is, I think, Lesky, can I get real quick back to the stand? Do you think that it will be cool to see Jerod Dyson in a Royals uniform in 2021?
It will be incredibly cool to see, especially, if I get to go to opening day.
Yeah.
To be able to see him announce on the team. I mean, take the little step forward. He'll probably do something crazy. Yeah, that's going to be really cool.
One more question, actually, before I give you my vote here. Whenever Jerod Dyson steals a base, stands on second base, and does the motorcycle vroom vroom, will that be cool, very cool, or the coolest thing to ever happen on a baseball field?
It will be, I'm not even going to answer that with one of your choices.
Mm.
It'll be rad.
Mm. My vote is that David Lesky is not inducted into the Dork Club for his offenses against humanity last night. Rudy Salazar, what is your vote?
David Lesky is no dork.
Whoa, Beards! Just for posterity, what is your vote?
He's safe. He's good.
All right.
Yeah. Vindicated.
The gavel has banged. Lesky, you are no dork. You may now leave the stand. I think that's our first official defense on the stand. It's definitely our first official defense on the stand, keeping you out of the Dork Club.
Still waiting for Mike from Duke to call back.
Maybe
he'll be number two.
I would like to just continue clarifying. I'm not sure that I'm prepared to have to prosecute Kurt Schilling.
Jim from Syracuse might be joining shortly.
Jim from Syracuse is making a push. That dude has some dork-like behavior. And if Darren Revelle wants to call in, he can wait on hold for a little bit. We'll see if we have time to get to him. So Lesky, of the things that make you think it's a little weird, or why you think maybe it would have been better off, it would have been a minor league deal. We talked about this last night. Last night I was straight up copying off of your homework, looking at Inside the Crown as this news was happening, because you had even kind of gone back and forth between Nick Heath and Edward Olivares, trying to figure out who that next outfielder is going to be and who has the higher ceiling. And Dyson is significantly older than both of them, and it seems like he probably is taking one of their roster spots. Do you think that's fair, and what do you think the implications of that are?
Well, so it kind of depends on how many pitchers they take with them.
Fair.
And I think – I'm not 100% clear on this, because before last season, before COVID and everything, the 26th man was added to the roster, but the rule was you could only have 13 pitchers. You couldn't. That was the max. I've seen so many projections on so many teams with 14 pitchers that I'm kind of assuming that's not happening this year, which is probably smart with, the limited innings from last season and all that. So assuming that the Royals take 14 pitchers, yeah, I think he takes a roster spot from one of those two. If they do 13, if they take 13 pitchers from spring training, you still might see – you probably wouldn't see Heath. I think Heath is the one who loses out, because they're – left-handed hitting speedsters who play center field, that's kind of redundant to have two. Now, the Royals, they really like redundancy on the roster. if the last 15 years is any indication, so like we could see them both, I guess. But I think if they go with four bench players, you could see Olivares, who's had a nice start to spring, all 3.5 games or whatever they played. You could see Ryan O'Hearn, who Mike Matheny has a bit of a man crush on, I think. Maybe even Ryan McBroom, who was really good at times last season. So if they have four men, yeah, I think you could see Dyson not necessarily take one of those spots. But I just have this hunch they're going to take 14 pitchers. And if they do, yeah, the bench is going to have to be Cam Gallagher, Dyson, and Hanser Alberto, I think. And so there's just no room for anybody else. Now, from a development standpoint, I don't have a huge issue with the Royals saying we want Olivares and Heath to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a bit of an issue because AAA got pushed back a month. I think it was yesterday. So, you know, that changes things a little bit because they won't play every day until May when the season starts in the minors. So that's something there. But that doesn't bother me so much. The issue I have with Dyson, I wonder a little bit if he was hurt last season and didn't say anything. Because I'm sure you talked about last night, the sprint speed, it dropped 1.5 feet per second, which is a really, really big drop. It doesn't seem like that much just to hear that. Oh, 1.5 feet, no big deal. But, I mean, he was 28.4 feet per second in 2019 and then 26.9 in 2020. It could be age. He's in his age 36 season coming up, maybe age 37. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's 37.
But, yeah, so he's – for a baseball player, he's getting up there. But – I don't know. That just seems like a really weird drop because I looked. He was between 28.2 and 29 feet per second for the last 4 years, and then all of a sudden is down below 27. I don't know. That just seems fishy to me. So look, maybe he hasn't lost the step that the numbers say he has, and he was just battling something. I mean, he had a core injury in 2018, I think, and had surgery for it after the season. So I mean, there's possibilities there, and I'm curious enough to see it, but. If he doesn't have that elite speed, I just don't know what purpose he's serving other than getting Nick Heath and Edward Olivares every day at bats, which if that's the only purpose, I mean, maybe that's not the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if he's just his value is in his speed, and if it's not there, I just don't really understand the spot. But, look, like I said, I'm really excited to see him in a Royals uniform, so – I'm willing to hope that he can regain some of that at least.
It's going to be his age 36 season. He'll turn 37 in August. So okay. just for bookkeeping there.
Yeah, I'll forget that next time we talk to you.
Yeah, no, I learned that last night and forgot about it by now. So, I mean, that's literally how it's working here. So I feel like the answer here might just be that the Royals think that his speed is at the very least not what it was last year, which them continuing to make bets on guys being better than they were last year would, I guess, be pretty in character at this point. But if I had to make you guess, like, what the conversation was in the Royals front office before pulling the trigger here, what do you think is the optimist's view, or what if I had to make you make the case back on the stand again for this move, what would it be?
Well, I mean, I think if you look back to those teams when they were winning, and Dyson was a big part of that, even as a bench player, he was a clubhouse leader. He was a catalyst. Mm-hmm. And I think that who they've brought in, you know, Mike Minor is a pretty stoic guy. Carlos Santana, I think, is, you know, maybe somewhere more than that. But he doesn't seem – maybe I'm wrong, but he just doesn't seem like that vocal kind of leader. You know, I don't know who Whit Merrifield is, sort of that, I guess, but not. He's kind of Gordon-ish, and then he talks more, but I don't feel like he's necessarily that rah rah leader type. And mm-hmm. I mean, they've got Salvi, which he's got enough energy for a handful of teams
right.
at once. But I think adding Dyson to the clubhouse was probably a big part of it. I do think I put my roster projection out yesterday, which the Royals just. You know, peed all over. And I wasn't going to say peed, and I realized we're on the radio.
You can say pissed. You can say it's 8 o'clock. You can say piss.
Yeah.
That wasn't what I was going to say either.
Well, then thank you. Then thank you for your filter.
Yes, I don't want to get you any fines.
I appreciate that.
But I think that they wanted a left-handed bat to pair with Michael A. Taylor, just because it's, you know, if you're going to have a guy who maybe isn't the best regular, it's probably a good idea for his backup to be the opposite hand, so you can sit him. It makes some sense in the, you know, rhyme or reason of when they sit and when they play and all that. So I think a left-handed bat who can handle center field, who, and look, I think being a fan favorite probably played into it a little bit. Mm. It's not, like, they're not going to have 38,000 seats available, at least to the start of the season, I would assume. I hope not. And get as many people there as you can. I don't know if Jerod Dyson necessarily sells any tickets or anything like that, but look, it never hurts to have somebody that the fans like come in. And if you think that he can be that catalyst on the bench, give you some good defensive innings, sit Michael A., you know, let him sit for a couple days against some tough righties or whatever it is, then I mean, that's probably where they came from. And like you said, they're hoping that 2020 was a blip and not a decline, not the beginning of a big decline, which, who knows? Mm-hmm. We really have no earthly idea. It's just such a weird year. There's so many things that you're like, well, yeah, this was bad, but, and then there's 94 reasons why it could have been bad that wouldn't carry over to 2021. And I think they're hoping that Dyson is one of those 94 reasons.
I wanted to ask about the roster projection, because, again, I was glad that it came out before the Dyson deal, because it lets us see how many moving parts that this ends up impacting. But obviously we've covered the Oliveras and Nick Heath and what the numbers of the pitching end up doing and all that in terms of where Dyson's roster spot ends up going. But did anything else from your roster projection this time through from version 1 to version 2 change in a significant way, or does now Dyson impact anything else?
No, well, my first projection, I had Ryan O'Hearn on the bench, and I had a 13-13 split, pitchers and hitters, and I thought about that, and like I said, when I was looking around seeing, maybe I've just missed it, but I haven't seen anything saying it's not 13, but I also haven't seen anything saying it is 13. Mm-hmm. So I kind of decided to go with the majority and give them an extra pitcher. And so that cost Ryan O'Hearn, which no big loss.
Jeez. All right. Sorry if Ryan O'Hearn's family is listening to the radio show tonight.
I deeply apologize. He's I'm sure he's a great guy.
I like to always, every time somebody says, I'm sure he's a great guy, I like to remind them, we don't know that. He might be, but we don't know that.
Well, I'm not even sure he's a great guy, but you got to say that. If you just insulted the guy's playing ability, I've got to say, I'm sure he's a great guy.
That's true. All right, fair enough.
That was the biggest difference, because Dayton Moore, was it last week or 2 weeks ago when he was talking, saying the lineup's basically set, the rotation is basically set, and I'm sitting here going, well, I was planning on doing 4 roster projections in spring. So, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to write this time. So the biggest thing I changed was I put Pakoda projections in the first one.
Yes.
And I put Zips projections in the second one. So it looked like it was something different.
I've seen Zips a number of times this offseason. I've just been too afraid to ask for clarification as to what makes them different and what that means. So maybe this is the moment that I just admit my ignorance and you can explain Zips to me, because I do not understand it.
It's Dan Szymborski from Fangraphs. Actually, he started it years ago. Used to post them on Baseball Think Factory, which is, I don't even know if it's still around, but I used to go, people post like a message board almost, that posted articles from everywhere, and people could post their own stuff. It was actually a really cool site for what it was back 15 years ago or whatever.
Well, you can go to baseballthinkfactory.org, and it looks like it looks like it has not changed the layout a lot.
I'm sure it hasn't. He built this projection system. I mean, it's no different than Pakoda, except for that it just values certain things maybe a little bit differently. I like the projections, because there's Zips, there's Pakoda, there's the steamer projections, there's the bat projections, and they're all, for the most part, you're going to look at a player and go, okay, well, his projection's pretty much the same across the board. And then there's the random person. There's the random guy that you're like, okay, everybody has this pitcher at a 3.3 ERA, and then this one's at 6.7. What's going on here? And so it's just the way the algorithm works, basically. I don't know beyond that. So I'm giving you the best answer I can possibly give you, and you're going to have to deal with that.
That's fine. I can give that answer now to other people, and I'm going to sound like I at least I can just be like, hey, you know, there was this baseball forum, and anyway, it's a projection system. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. That's fine. How is it different? I don't know. That's not important.
It just is.
Some very loud sirens outside. We've gotten some really fun sort of external noises the last few shows. We've cracked the door open because it's nice weather outside, some fresh air, and occasionally some very loud sirens very quickly.
The South Johnson County hoodlum.
Yeah, it's a mess out here. It is bustling. You also wrote a piece on Inside the Crown about some prospects who could debut in 2021, and it didn't include Bobby Witt, and that concludes my question.
Hey. He was in the article for you.
Yes, I saw. I felt like you were writing to me with, I know you were hoping for Bobby Witt here, you big dumb idiot, but he's not going to be here, so bleep off. Oh, that was very direct and very rude, Lesky.
I put your name in there. I don't know why you didn't
do it
to anybody else.
It was just very aggressive.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I just wanted to make sure you saw it.
I did, and it really hit me. But of the guys, the five guys you did write about, three pitchers, a couple of bats that you also really, really did your best to talk yourself into the guy from The Dark Knight, but it didn't really fully happen. We've talked about the pitchers a lot, though. So tell me about your worked up hope for Lucius Fox, I guess, and then also Kyle Isbell.
So Lucius Fox. Basically, I wanted to have five players in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bobby Witt would have been too easy?
way too easy. It was I thought about Sebastian Rivero, who's the catcher they added to the 40-man roster back in November, because catchers, you know, there's so many injuries with them. They go up and down. He seems like a guy who could see some time. But I ended up on Lucius Fox just because I feel like he's really a post-type prospect. I mean, he was a top 100 guy a couple of years ago and just hasn't put it together because we've seen it quite a bit in Kansas City, unfortunately. The guys who just aren't strong enough to get bloop hits. Mm. And the reason is, we've talked about this a lot, I feel like, outfielders don't play deep enough. So, because they don't have to respect any power, the ball will never bloop in because they're playing like 12 feet behind the shortstop. And Lucius Fox has had that issue. But what I've heard from a few different people is that things clicked for him at the alternate site last year. Now, that's really, really easy to say because there's no way to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there has been, and I've got something coming out tomorrow that goes into this a little bit, but there's been tons of talk about Nick Prado as an example.
Mm.
It feels like an organizational plant for Prado that they are talking him up the way they have been. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt that with the Fox stuff about how, you know, if somebody tells you that something clicked and you have no way to verify that, don't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we don't have anything else to go by. So
right.
I'm hopeful for the Royals' sake that it did click because he's a guy who can play middle infield really well. He's fast. He's also quick. He could probably play outfield. I'm not sure if he has, actually. So he's the role that Eric Mejia has played poorly over the last couple of seasons could go to Lucius Fox this year because he's on the 40-man roster. And that's why I included him there. I think that he's a guy who could very easily see time. And the thing about him is he's got a decent eye. And so he'll work a few walks. And even if he's only hitting 240, he'll still get on base about 310 clip, which with his speed can be useful. So I think he's got a shot to be on the roster at some point. But yeah, I wasn't very inspired by it. So I think I spent more time talking about him to you than I did actually writing in the part about him.
No, you did. And I was just thinking, I wonder how many players within the Royals organization you could talk for five straight minutes about if I just said, hey, tell me about just this dude. Because I feel like it has to be a remarkably long list. Because I just learned more about Lucius Fox than I ever hoped to know and will forget. But you just had it ready there, which is incredible.
So well, it's kind of like the Royals talking him up. There are certain players that I could say just about anything about.
Right.
And only a handful of people would be like, wait a minute, that's not right.
That doesn't make sense. You know. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to catch you on it. Rudy might, and he's not going to say anything till the break and be like, listen, Lesky has made up a bunch of stuff about Lucius Fox, and I just want you to know.
I mean, I'll just start preparing my charges for the next time we have to go to court.
That's good.
You know, a good prosecutor does not let that stuff leak early.
That's
a
great
point. You hold
it
until you got an airtight case.
You've been listening
to
Seth
twice.
You've been on those Seth Kaiser Zoom calls, getting that lawyer education.
I've also seen a lot of episodes of Law and Order SVU.
Also makes a lot of sense. Well, can you work up some more optimism or genuine emotions for Kyle Isbell?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Isbell, I like him. To me, he's the guy who could actually help the Royals beyond 2021. But I think he could be up in 2021 also, because I think he's relatively close. He was part of the pitcher draft class. He was getting rave reviews on the alternate site also, but then they were also tweeting out videos of him. So it's one of those things that, to go back to Fox for a second, they talked about how much it clicked, but they never showed you anything. With Isbell, every day there was a diving catch, there was a rocket shot. And if you think back to spring training last year, he was really gaining a lot of traction right before everything shut down. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been the last game before it all went to hell. He made this amazing diving catch on the warning track. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. I'm the nerd, so I do. But
I like to think that Rudy remembers it.
I like to think I remember it too.
we'll say Rudy remembers it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, who's going to know?
Yeah, that's true. Yes, I remember it in crystal. I have a poster of it above my bed at home on my ceiling.
If I saw it, it would probably, like, jog my memory.
It was a really impressive catch. So you probably, if you saw it again, you seriously would go, oh, yeah, I remember that. But he's just a good all-around player. I kind of think of him a little bit like David DeJesus. He's not going to give you 30 home runs. He's probably not going to steal you 40 bases or anything. But he's solid at just about everything. He gives you a good plate appearance. I think there might be a little more power that he can tap into. But he's the type of guy who could be a top-of-the-order hitter. I think for a couple years he could probably handle center in Kauffman Stadium before he'd have to move to a corner, which kind of DeJesus-ish, right? He's just a good all-around player. And, you know, is it to be the issue with the Royals position player prospects is he probably shouldn't be as close to the top as he is. But that's not his fault. He's a guy who I think can produce at the big league level. And I think relatively soon I think he was going to start at AAA. Now I'm sure he'll be at the alternate site, which they're redoing for a month or so. While the AAA schedule is waiting to get started. But, he's a guy who I think can be a part of the next good Royals team. And guys like him mean you don't have to go out and get Nori Aoki or Alex Rios, who are Royals heroes.
I would love Nori Aoki being back also, Lesky. I would think it would also be great.
I would take that for sure.
Okay.
But, you know, you get a guy like Isbell who's on – in the first 3 years, cheap contract, even for four or five, it's still pretty cheap. He allows you not have to get those guys. You can get them out of want, not need, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
And I really like Isbell. I think he's one of those – I think he'll be a fan favorite and probably get overrated at some point, even though he's a good player. But that's okay. If an okay player – if a solid player becomes overrated, it's probably because the team is winning. And so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I'll say this. Here's a little further cross-promotion. If you want to read about Lynch, Coar, and Lacey, you can go check out Inside the Crown. I'm not going to ask Lesky about it right now, but you can go read about it, and also the chances that those guys show up in the majors and expectations and all that stuff up on Inside the Crown right now. You can go to insidethecrown.substack.com. The last thing I want to talk to you about, and the reason we don't have time for that, is because I got just sort of the tip of the iceberg for some of your day job shenanigans as I was texting you earlier today about being on tonight. And I would like to get in full media res, if possible, what you would go to as your sort of go-to story to explain what your what some of your recent days have looked like, and also where exactly you lose faith in humanity because of it.
Okay. So for those who don't know, I work in marketing for a travel company, which – for the past year has just been awesome
yeah.
because
yeah.
travel is booming.
Yes.
There are no issues anywhere.
None.
It's great.
Everyone's having a great time.
They're going all over the world and just having a ball. So our phone lines were just crazy busy. We reduced hours, reduced staff, all that stuff. We still haven't added people back. Still haven't added hours back. So the phones are just crazy, like constantly ringing. And so what our management team did above me is started doing a live chat on the website.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, I mentioned we haven't brought people back.
You did. You did mention that.
Yeah. And so we've got me and a few other of our managers on the team. We get to handle our live chat for a couple hours every day. We split it up. One of my coworkers, my department gets 2 hours a day. I do one. She does one. It's not terrible, but it's kind of the part of my day that makes me want to jump out the window.
It's not great.
And
it's still not great, yeah. 0 hours a day would be better.
Yeah, no big deal. This is a little PSA for everybody. When you get on a live chat, I would assume most are like this, and the person you're chatting to can see what you're typing before you send it.
So, so good.
Yeah, it's something that everybody should probably know. And so I, as the world has not been kind to traveling over the past year, there are some things that have made people upset. A lot of our vacations are non-refundable. We encourage people to buy travel insurance. It's $79. It's worth it because not to get too deep into it, obviously, but when you book a vacation with us, we pay the resort with your processing fee. So if the resort doesn't pay us back, we can't pay you back. People don't like that. And but nobody, some people are outright rude. And we, by the way, we also use fake names and pictures on our chat. Because
have to assume that. I've always assumed that.
We are not about to tell people who we actually are.
Right. Hi, I'm David Lesky, and I live at this address.
Right. Yeah. So
catch me every right Wednesday on AES.
Right.
Check
out my Substack.
We share an account. We chat as Terry right now.
Very good.
We were Delia last week.
Wow, I like it.
Anyway, so when people are upset, oftentimes they'll just say mean things. Sometimes you can just tell they're upset, but they don't say anything mean. But every so often, and this is where I really wish I had my screen recording, you will get something typed out that's very long and hurtful. And there are expletives. There are just these absolutely horrible things that nobody would ever say to a stranger, even on, like, Twitter.
Right.
I mean, and some of the things are just, like, they're shocking to the point that I'm like, please hit send. I need to respond to this. But what ends up happening is almost every time, this is probably every 2 or 3 weeks, They type it all out, and it is F this, F that, F you. I hope you crash your car on a pole. So a lot of good stuff.
Just crazy. An insane thing to say to a total stranger.
Yeah. I mean, come on. What did Terry ever do to you? And then the best part is you start to see them backspace. And almost every time it becomes, thanks anyway. Or thanks for your time.
Yep.
I appreciate your help.
Yep.
And every time I want to be like, I saw what you wrote. I saw that. I saw what you typed. Your brain typed those words, and I saw it. And I always respond with, no problem. Have a great day. And that's that.
So good. Well, listen, Terry, it's been an honor to talk to you. You're one of my favorite. You're one of my favorite people to chat to about all my non-refundable travel plans.
Wonderful.
That I continue to make. I do apologize for many of the rude words, but if it would have just said David Benjamin Lesky at DB Lesky on Twitter, Substack at insidethecrown.substack.com, I never would have said any of those very rude things.
Well, maybe we should change it. Maybe I should be myself.
No, don't do that. No, never do that. No, no one should ever be themselves.
Be
no.
Benjamin David Leskey.
Ooh.
You know, mix it up.
That'll throw him off the trail.
Little Easter eggs.
Could I suggest, I have two suggestions. You could start going by Rudy Salazar, which would be pretty funny to us. But do you know how
next
thrilled?
Rudy, for sure.
Well, so you know how thrilled I would be if I logged on the chat with somebody and their name was Beards?
Ooh.
That one might work.
Well, look, we've got our next 2 weeks now, which is great. I appreciate that suggestion, and I'm gonna use it.
I have a few other suggestions, including some names and addresses I think you should consider. I'll tell you those in private, though.
Briscoe with Perfect. An E. Preferably.
Yeah, with an E is fine. Bleep that guy. But no E, please leave. Please don't dox me. Thank you, Leskey. I mean, Terry.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
David Leskey of Inside the Crown. You can go to insidethecrown.substack.com to get all of the great work he's been doing covering the Royals. Just in these couple of weeks, like from off-season to spring training to now just being, like you said, like 3.5 games in, I think. Really superb work on all things Royals, and also if you ask him for some help on deciding if it's worth buying travel insurance or not, he'll help you out there as well. Just tweet him, ask him for advice at DB Leskey on Twitter.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
And that's where I imagine most radio shows are starting their shows today, as Beards adjusts his Dick Justice dog plush.
That's good enough.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
A lot of things to unpack. I also just realized during the last commercial break that there are some things that we've talked about that I honestly cannot remember if they actually came up on the show or if they were just things that we talked about during a break. Did we talk about the NBA steals thing on the radio?
Steals
thing?
The all-time stats and
yes,
all of that
yes,
stuff.
Okay. That was the first segment.
So can you give us an update on that, Beards? What happened with TJ? What's his
name? TJ McConnell finished the game. He had 9 steals at halftime. The record of all time is 11. He finished with 10. He got triple-double. It's pretty good still.
He had 9 at halftime.
Steals are hard,
man. The rest of the game needed to be him trying to duck under people's arms to go grab the ball and get to 12. You've got to get 3 in the second half. That is a failure in a bad game. Shame on him.
I want to pull this up because I know this
disappointing
is,
for sure.
There have been, let's see. Let me do some math and I'll get back to you.
But that's fine. I don't really care that much. I just wanted the update.
Yeah, that's fine.
Here's the other thing. I did not know that in apparently many chats that you do online with like customer service reps or whatever, that they can read what you're typing as you are typing
that
it.
That I had no clue about.
I did not know about that.
That makes sense. Also, there's only been 17 people get double-digit steals in the game. There has been much more on that on blocks. Steals are hard.
He had 9
steals are hard
at halftime, which is incredibly impressive. Beards,
let me
phrase
that
this
Beards
differently.
Is backing up the white guy.
Here, let me phrase it differently, Beards.
Yes.
He had 1 steal in the second half.
He did.
Boston's going to give up 3 first-round picks for him.
So I had no idea that was a part of the online chat experience. The other thing is that Joel Embiid is currently – what is Embiid's stat line? 10? Is that game
40
over?
40 points. It was 19 rebounds. Let me pull that back up and I'll tell you.
But they're going to beat the Jazz tonight. You said, Beards, that game is nearly over in overtime. Embiid forced overtime, I believe.
Yes, on a wild three-point attempt where he got like a post-up or whatever and then realized there's like, oh, man, there's like 8 seconds left. Literally ran to the three-point line, double pumped on the attempt, and then shot it and made it. He has, let's see, 40 points, 19 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. They are currently winning by 8. And there's 27 seconds left over the team with the best.
Clearly
record in the
MVP, the best big man in the NBA.
Can
Beards.
I give you a stat, Josh?
There's, yeah, Beards is fine. Not even really. There's not even really a counter argument.
I've
got the counter argument right here.
I've got some. Sorry, I've got some bad noises.
Yeah,
I
put that down at half again.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
just 50% that bad noise.
Like Anthony Davis is the best center in the league when he's healthy, but he's just not healthy currently.
I would say he's top 2. I mean, right now Embiid. I think you have to at least respect what Embiid has done so far.
Sure, Embiid's been awesome,
and certainly specifically for this year's MVP categorization with Davis being hurt. And, you know, DeAndre Ayton's just 2 years away from being 2 years away. But other than that, Embiid is clearly
you
the best.
You could put Carl Anthony Towns in there if you wanted to.
Does Giannis count?
Stinks?
Giannis is a big man.
I say I compare Giannis more to Shaq than I do a guard player.
Really?
Yes.
Weird.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. Beards?
Yes. Just in terms of, like, play style and, you know, he's paint-centric.
But I mean, but Embiid is clearly the best. I mean, like if you were gonna say, if you had to cast your MVP vote right now,
what about Zion? He's kind of a big guy.
He's a big man, but I think if you're doing MVP votes right now, and especially if you're making it specifically about big men, I think Embiid's probably winning unanimously. Rudy, we are back. Rudy took his headphones off. I think Rudy thought we were in a break. Rudy, we are back. If you want to go ahead and add to the consensus on Embiid real quick.
Anthony Davis is a power forward. He doesn't even start a center for his own team.
Big man.
He's a big man.
Big man.
He's just not a center.
Oh, yes.
I mean, so he think literally KCP, does not. JaVale McGee started more games as center last year than Anthony
Did
Davis.
Did he really?
Because Anthony
yes.
Davis doesn't want to play
does
center.
Anthony Davis does not start at center.
He is a center, but he doesn't want to play
not.
Center.
He's a power forward.
It's the same way that like Kevin Durant doesn't want to be known as a seven-footer.
Anthony Davis is power forward.
KD, great point, Beards.
He's actually played more time in his career at center than
yes,
he has power
yes,
forward.
Yes.
Great point, Beards. KD,
like,
we forgot to mention KD.
It's
thank
like
you.
Tim Duncan with the Spurs. He started at center, but he was a power forward.
He started his career at power forward because David Robinson was there, and then later was center.
But the point being, though, he is a power forward.
What were you saying earlier, Rudy? What nonsense were you saying? You're saying something when Beards and I are having a conversation about the MVP of the league, Joel Embiid.
This is a stat that 100% because like Beards doesn't like analytics.
Right.
Beards is the
just roll the ball up there and play. Damn
yeah,
it.
Currently, win shares, which is an estimate of the number of wins contributed by a player.
I'll tell you how I feel about that stat after you tell me the stat.
Yes. Currently, Joel Embiid has 5. He's worth 5.6 win share, 3.8 on offense, 1.8 on defense. Nikola Jokic leads the NBA at 8.3. Giannis
bad stat,
is second
dumb stat.
At 5.6.
Stupid stat. Bias in favor of Jokic.
Jokic is 6.5 offensive win shares, 1.8 defensive win shares.
Apparently, Donovan Mitchell got ejected for complaining tonight.
Oh, that's
we got
fun.
A problem.
Making that's a because StatMuse on Twitter tweeted out Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell got ejected in back-to-back nights for complaining.
In overtime.
It was in OT.
Yeah.
That might be why that game got a little wide at the end there. Good work. Good work, refs.
Jokic also has one of the higher steal percentages among like MVP candidates.
Has Jokic ever been ejected for complaining?
I thought he was going to the other night, but Michael Malone, the head coach, stepped in and took that for him. Which is that's what a good head coach does. Phoenix might need to look at a new head coach.
Good head coach just wins the game, honestly.
I mean,
so
Nuggets have a winning record.
7-seed Denver Nuggets, please.
Is the West?
I don't get out of bed for less than the three seed.
There's no excuses for that. They got to get better.
Actually, Andre Drummond has a higher steal percentage than Jokic does.
I
mean, MVP.
I didn't say he had the highest.
MVP
I said he
Andre Drummond,
one of the highest among MVP candidates.
And Beards is saying that Andre Drummond's an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you what Andre Drummond's numbers are, so I can't.
If you put
MVP
or,
numbers, baby.
If you put a gun to my temple right now and said who is Andre Drummond play for, I would probably perish.
It's still the Cavs.
Oh, I
although
just
he's
sworn
not
he got
currently
traded.
Like playing because sat him because they're trying to trade him or cut him or whatever.
That's
17.5 points, 13.5 rebounds. I mean, those are really good numbers.
Yeah,
MVP.
Yeah,
he'd be at least the fifth best player in Serbia.
I mean, it's very good numbers. Jokic also leads the NBA in plus minus.
A made up stat. Plus minus. Plus what minus what?
Value over replacement player, Jokic leads.
You know what the Phoenix Suns are second in the West on? Plus minus wins.
Defensive rebound percentage, Andre Drummond.
MVP.
Player efficiency rating, Nikola Jokic.
Bad stat. Got any more?
Just trying to find like a Celtic maybe.
40 point and 10 rebound games this season. There have been 9 40 point 10 rebound games in the NBA this year. Okay, there have been 9. 5 of them have been from Joel Embiid.
I was going to say, is it probably largely like Embiid and honestly maybe Jokic?
Yeah, Jokic was not on the stat. I don't think Jokic has...
I actually have his game stat logged up. Yeah, he had 41
Yeah,
and
I
5,
don't see anything about Jokic.
6, 50 and 8.
That's crazy. Beards, I don't know. Maybe,
47
Beards,
and 12.
Beards, if we take a break and come back, maybe whatever weird thing's going on with Rudy's microphone will
That's
get fixed
idea.
On the other side of the break.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for clicking this videos. I will show how pronounce this word. Let's start. Phoenixes. Phoenixes.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And one more time. Phoenixes.
And one more time.
Phoenixes. That's all.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This show, and by this show, I actually just mean the relationship between myself, Rudy, and Beards, all of us in this triangle, never gets more hostile. It never gets close to as hostile as it gets whenever we start talking about NBA things.
Yeah.
Like, between breaks, I don't mean to just, like, tease people. We'll try to bring up everything that we brought up during the break, and you'll just hear it happen in real time as well. But the commercial break conversations that end up being about how Jokic is a fraud, the Celtics play in a fake conference, and the Suns. Honestly, they haven't had bleep to say about the Suns yet, because I think deep down, everyone kind of knows.
I like the Suns. The Suns are a good team. I like the Suns. They're a good team. I don't really have,
if they win a playoff series, that's going to start changing, and it's going to get very aggressive.
By far, the biggest negative about the Suns is still just the fact that they didn't draft Doncic, and, like, they're the two seed. So, like, it's like, again, they
would
be
also like if Doncic
they would be a better
team
if they had Doncic, but, like, the reality is, like, it's they're a good team.
So what was the you had a stat? You found a stat about Joel Embiid coming into tonight's game.
And it wasn't even like
it's an important stat. This is
coming into tonight. Joel Embiid was 18th in the NBA with 39 total blocks. And then I just happened to see, because it's just right above him, is 16th in total blocks is Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins has more blocks this year, but coming into tonight had more blocks this year than Joel Embiid. And I would have gotten that one wrong a lot of times out of a lot.
And number one is Miles Turner at 104. That is just a wide gap.
That's a lot. Who's second?
Rudy Gobert, 97.
Jeez,
and then it really drops off. Clint Capella's third at 71. Like, it's Gobert and Miles Turner are just, like, there.
Also, as Donovan Mitchell was leaving the arena.
Daniel Tease, 20th with 38.
That's Tice.
There you go, Celtics. Nah, I think it's Tease.
It's pronounced...
I don't think he's earned Tice yet.
It's pronounced whatever that place in Louisiana.
And Bobby Will is tied for 18th with Embiid at 39.
We'll get to Bobby Will Jr. later. As Donovan Mitchell was leaving the court after being ejected tonight, he smacked an empty Gatorade cooler, and it, like, went over.
Oh, like, he's out tomorrow too, then.
And it hit a security guard. Guy was sitting there.
What is it with Utah players and smacking water cups and stuff? Gobert did this a couple years ago, and that got him ejected.
He'd already been ejected. This is as he was leaving. But the funny part is that he walks by, he knocks this jug farther than he expected to, clearly, because it was empty, and he goes from rage of smacking a Gatorade jug to immediately going over to the security guard and, like, holding his shoulder. And be like, that's my bad, man. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
I'm so sorry,
man. The security guard gives him, like, a hand up and then, like, a thumbs up. And is like, it's fine. It's all right.
It's fine. I still got to squirt you out, though.
We're good.
You want to guess who leads the NBA in three-point percentage? You'll never get it.
I mean, Beards is going to really try.
You'll never get it.
It's not Joe Harris. I know he's at 50.
He's second.
Yeah.
You'll never get number one.
Joel Embiid.
No.
Nikola Jokic.
No.
Devin Booker.
No.
Devin Booker's sons.
No.
Chris Paul.
No.
Mikal Bridges.
No.
LeBron James.
Weirdly enough, no sons in the top 20.
Michael Jordan.
No. He has crazy eyes.
Adam Gase.
He has crazy eyes.
Other guy with crazy eyes. He fought a European once on his own team.
Bobby Portis?
Bobby Portis is shooting 50.7% from three.
This show gets so bleeping weird sometimes. Like,
Mikal Bridges, though, 11th in a two-point field goal percentage. DeAndre Ayton's 14th. Ahead of Nikola Jokic.
He's a machine.
I gave you one.
Talk about who knows what Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 next.
You are listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.